It was around 5 years ago. Joyce and I was on vacation, and on one Sunday, we went to this new church. It was quite far away from where we stayed, so we get up early that morning and try to be on time, okay? Let me tell you, it was a really special experience that I have with Joyce. God speak to both Joyce and I through the worship, through the saying, through the sermon, through the prayers. We were both amazed by the revelations through God's word and the healing that God has done to us. We were crying like babies. I remember we were crying like babies there. And I'm telling you, that was one of the moments of transformation on our spiritual journey. But I will share with you in the next some other time the details. But to my surprise, I was very surprised. At the end of this worship service, not many people have experienced the same impact as us. Why? The pastor preached the word of God, for sure. He preached the word of God, and the message was so solid, and definitely, it's not hard to understand, definitely. There should be more people, many more people should get it and respond to his word, but that is not the case. I wonder why? What happened? Have you ever wondered why the same sermon or some other time, the same book will produce strikingly different results in different people? For example, some people seem unable to grasp the simplest and the most obvious spiritual truths while others are transformed by them. Do you see what I see? I guess this must be very common because I find it very interesting. Even Jesus himself talks about a similar situation like this in a parable. Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower, talks about a similar situation like this, okay? But before that, in fact, this is a very familiar scripture, but I want to get this straight before we go on. It can be very tempting, to be honest, very tempting to think of yourself, I've heard these stories many times before, in Sunday school, Bible studies, Awana, Christian school, sermons, we may think that we know the story, okay? So we can close our ears and pay less attention to the Lord, what has to say to us. So, but let me tell you what Jesus said before we go on to today's message. Luke 8:8. Right after Jesus told the parables, the scripture tells us that Jesus called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So, brothers and sisters, we have ears to hear, let us hear. Luke chapter 8, verse 4-8. Jesus addressed his parable to the sower to the audience with an agricultural background, and he's drawing the crowds into the story related to the details, and they should understand and know exactly what Jesus is talking about because they live in a similar situation and condition there. But to my surprise, again, some of them got the message, but others did not. Verse 4 and 5, there's a great crowd coming in, following Jesus, and Jesus began to tell the stories of a sower sowing the seeds. The seeds get scattered everywhere to different soil. Verse 5, and some of the seeds fell along the path, and the bird came and ate them, and some were even trampled underfoot. It's not easy. It's not easy to have a fruitful land. Enemies are always around, and everywhere the seeds have almost no chance if they land on the path. Verse 6, And some fell on the rock. As it grew up, it dwelled away. There may be a thin layer of soil there, right there, but underneath is actually the rock. The seed actually start growing, but the roots can't go down to anything substantial. The plant dies as soon as the sun comes out because there's not enough water, there's not enough moisture, and there's no root. Verse 7, and some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. So the seeds fell on some kind of good soil, solid, very solid, but there are thorns among them. And here the seeds actually start growing stronger, start getting the roots, and actually looks good for a while. But as they grow, the thorns are just stronger. The thorns are just stronger than the seeds. And eventually the plant gets choked out and also die. The Jesus parable is saying something like this: three out of the four soil fell to produce anything. Then that's not good, huh? But eventually, something good happens. Verse 8. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. The seed is on a good soil. This is the part of the land that is richly prepared, and so the seeds take roots and grow well and strong. Imagine this. Over the time, the land looks great, look rich, look very nice and green. The seeds on the good soil produce 100 times of what was sown. And the seed actually multiplies. The seed grows strong. Think about it. That's great. And that's it. And that's a parable. To me, the parables, it's extremely straightforward, okay? Extremely straightforward. But again, to my surprise, I was a little shocked. The disciple don't quite get it in the first place. Can you imagine that? The disciple don't quite get it in the first place. So the disciple, verse 9, the disciple came and asked Jesus what this parable meant. And Jesus responded, verse 10, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. So why Jesus would say something like this, and why Jesus answers like this? His answers almost sounds arrogant. No, they're not arrogant, but mean, at least. Why did Jesus speak in a parable that even his disciple did not understand in the first place? I want all of you to hold your thoughts first before I actually want to adjust a little bit of my speaker. Do you think that I can actually help? Sorry. What did Jesus said? Speak in a parable that even his disciple did not understand in the first place. Why? Well, to understand this, we must see the context. Jesus' ministry was immensely popular, and people were traveling from great distance to hear him speak, and he was becoming a popular preacher at that time. But Jesus actually look for more from his audience. And according to the account in Luke, when a crowd started following him, Jesus began to intensify his use of parables so that those who were not genuinely listened to him would not get it. Let me repeat one more time. Jesus began to intensify his use of the parables so that those who were not genuinely listening to him would not get it. Jesus did not simply use parables as illustration to many others, but at times he used parables to conceal the truth so that only those who are hungry for more would understand. So Jesus is really looking for someone who is a genuine seeker and who is looking for someone who is hungry for him, hungry for more. He's looking for someone who is willing to take the trouble to get deeper, dig deeper. But at the same time, Jesus used parables to conceal the truth from those who are content simply just to listen to the story. Jesus cites Isaiah chapter 6, 9 to 10 here, in which the prophets spoke the judgment on the people who showed signs of their unbelief and signs of the unmoved by the mighty hands of God. And let me tell you, this is the same as a situation like right here. Parables are a mine of God's revelations to those who are hungry for him, but they are also a judgment on the casual and careless. Because we don't hungry for the truth, very likely they won't obey the truth when they hear it. And Jesus is actually leaves it up to the individual to choose. If you want more, please go dig deeper. Let's take a look at the explanation of this parable by Jesus himself. Let's see how Jesus himself explained the whole parables. Luke chapter 8, 11 to 15, verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Plain, simple, the seed is the word of God. Verse 12. The one along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. The first soil we see is the path. It's actually not soil, but actually this is the path, okay? This could be someone who is unmoved by the word of God. This is really hard surface. And maybe there are things in the past, a situation in the past that makes this heart harden. The person does not even want to let the word of God enter into his heart. So no matter how amazing the seed is, the word of God cannot find even a tiny little space to stay and grow. And at the same time, this place is also a dangerous place where it's exposed to birds and the strumming of the feet. The word, it's heard, but the enemies is allowed, it's permitted to come and steal it away. And if the seed is gone, there's no life. The seed is gone, and there's no life. Verse 13. And the ones on the rocks are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. The second story is the rock, or some kind of like a stony ground, I suppose. The word is his word, the word of God is joyfully, gladly received. The seed finds a place to dwell in, but the problem is it does not go down deep enough. It's no root, the rocks underneath, and it dies from lack of moisture beneath the ground. The person must have or may have been passionate for a while, excited for a while, but when the problem or the times of troubles, or time of testing comes, they fall away because the seed is never been rooted properly. And verse 14, and as for what fell on among the thorns, there are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they choked it by the cares and the riches and pleasure of life, and their fruit does not mature. The first soil is the soil among the thorns. Notice that. Okay, this is, again, this is a kind of good soil. It's kind of good. It's solid. The seed can grow for sure. They grow up, okay? They have some roots there too. But the problem is, the only problem is, the soil is preoccupied. It is the thorns, the weeds. That is, in Jesus' term, the cares and riches and pleasure of life that choke out the real life that might have begun. And at the end of the day, even this very kind of good soil, nothing happened. The land, the soil, is still unfruitful. So verse 15, as for that in good soil, there are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast, in an honest and good heart, they bear fruit with patience. And these one is one of the good ones, okay? This is the very good soil, and they're all prepared for them, for the seed to come. And this is kind of like a person with a prepared heart. A person who take in the word of God very seriously and with cares. And this is the heart that has allowed, give permission to the word of God to really dig deep out, dig deep down. Take out all the bad and to be replaced by the good. And this heart hears the word and hold it fast with the honest and good heart, and the word of God has full liberty to grow and bear fruits. It may take some time, but when the times come, the hearts bear fruits and produce a harvest. And this is exactly what the sower expects, the real fruit, the real harvest. As simple as this, straightforward. He expects a real fruit and real harvest. That's it. And now, all of us know this is the expectation from the Lord, to be for you to be the good soil, bear fruit, and have harvest in your life. So the challenging thing is, so what is your response to His word? What is your response to His teaching now? My question to you, is your heart receptive to His teachings? How easy, very easy. How easy it is to agree with His teachings? Very easy, but with no intention of obeying it. It's easy to even denouncing the sins that we have, the sins of our life, but still do nothing to change our ways of living. Is your heart receptive to His teachings? People respond differently because different people has different condition of their hearts. The condition of their hearts is different. Some are hardened, others are shallow, and some are contaminated by lots of distracting worries, riches, pleasure of life. But some of the people are very, very receptive to His teaching. Are you one of them? Help us. How has God's word taken root in your life, in our life? And what kind of soil are we? Now we know the parables. And we know that something, you know, this is the expectation from the Lord. Let me tell you one more time, and asking you to reflect upon the parables, the straightforward parables, where do you fit in this parable? Are we actually on the path, which is all the way rock solid here? There's no place. There's no place for the seed to grow. And are we still so in love with the things of the world or the pleasure of life that we do not have time to start cultivating the grounds of our hearts? To be honest, if we are honest to ourselves, we all have those moments of hardness, and when we are not quite prepared for the Word of God to enter into our lives, that's true. Me too. I sometimes be like that too. Perhaps, even perhaps right now, in this worship right now, but you have already zoomed it out. Your heart must be somewhere else. Your heart is somewhere along the way, just not upon God's Word. And maybe you are thinking right now, what's you're going to do tomorrow? Or maybe you're thinking about yesterday, what you did, yesterday. Or maybe you're thinking about what are you going to have lunch afterwards. Even though you may love God, but if your heart is set on the things other than receiving His Word, then the seed will have little chance to grow in you. We sit in this church or many other churches week after week hearing the Word of God, and every seed that God has for you, in your for your life is cast into your heart. And God has already done the work. The question is your heart ready to receive it, nurture it, and let that seed grow into harvest? Are you ready for it? When the world-creating, life-giving, soul-saving Word of God is released, are you texting on your phone? Or are you actually checking your Instagram right now or Facebook? Or are you actually talking to your neighbors? Or are you reading something else, and which is fine, you find more interesting, or half asleep, like a baby's? Is your heart, or is your pride broken up enough for the Lord and allowed the seed to grow in you? Or are you still so caught up with the things you want more than what God wants you to live for your life? I must, however, bring up one important point for all of you to know. I really need to bring up one important point for all of you to know. The situation of the first three types of soil that Jesus is talking about is rather tragic. It's a tragic because the goal of sowing has not been reached, and Jesus wants every one of us to be in a good soil so that we have harvest. Yes, all of us may have signs of growth or signs of maturing, but the fruit does not mature, and that is the problem. And I'm telling you, there's no comfort for those who are described as this soil. Everyone should have been bare fruits. Everyone. I get that. None of us is perfect. I get that. Definitely. Me too. And we can all become part of that hard and stony grounds at times. But what we must strive for is to become the good soil. And no matter where you are right now, no matter what conditions your heart is in, give permission to the world creating life giving, soul-saving Word of God to transform your life again right now. And we all know the most satisfying time for the sower is when the crops are fully mature and he can start picking up the fruit and enjoying it, and we are talking about full harvest here. God really wants to bring forth a harvest in your life, and we have to keep our hearts ready so that harvest may come in your life right now. Imagine this. What if everyone here, you 100-fold for the kingdom, what would this city, or your workplace, or your family will look like if everyone's yelled 100-fold for the kingdom? And imagine this. This tiny little seed falls to the ground and becomes buried in the good soil. The rain falls. The seed actually soaks up not only the water from the rain, but also the minerals from the soil. And days later, the roots break out and hold on to the soil. And the stem slowly grows up and go through the grounds. And you can see now, by now, the leaves burst out. The seeds now becomes a small plants, and the roots grow longer, stronger, deeper into the ground, and soon, very soon, the flower blossom, and not long after, it bears fruit. And the newly fun created seeds fall into the good soil again. And by now, the land has been reshaped. The seed now becomes a tree. The seed from the trees starts spreading around, starts spreading beyond the current boundaries and multiplies. And it's just a matter of years, it's just a matter of decades that these seeds will turn into many, many more trees and eventually a forest. The landscape of the original land is completely transformed. A seed is turned into a forest. Wow. But imagine this, the forest. There's so much more than just a collection of trees. Imagine that. They are the essential for life on earth, and they provide a home for many different plants, different animals. And the seeds no longer a tiny little acorn, but a sanctuary for many living things. And a seed becomes a sanctuary of many living things. But that's not all. That's not all. The forest also sustain the weather, the climate, and supply the oxygen for where we need to survive, and to provide food, timber, for product we use every day in communities, cities, province, countries is blessed by them. A seed become a great blessing to many. And this is a seed. This is a seed that reshape the landscape and develop into a dwelling sanctuary of many living things, and eventually becomes the great blessing to many others. And let me tell you, it all begins with a seed that falls onto the good soil. In the past few weeks, we talk about the Word of God. When the Word of God is being released, it is world-creating, we agree. Life-giving, soul-saving. And it is also the sword of the Spirit, which has the power to drive off even the devil. We all agree with that. It's powerful, marvelous. However, when I read and study this parable, something beyond my understanding suddenly pop up. It's beyond my understanding, to be honest. Let me tell you this. When the seed, Word of God, which is the world creating, life-giving, soul-saving Word of God, is released into the soil. And then Jesus said, the seed is either has no place to grow, or it's too shallow to grow, or there's some other things grow along with the seed, but these other things eventually choke out the life of that seed of God. How can it be? Think about this. The world creating, life giving, and soul saving Word of God the most powerful things in the universe is put into an environment that if we give no attention or attention to other things or other voices or other words, or in Jesus' term, the cares and the riches and pleasure of life, we actually give these other things in a place in our heart to take root, and they will, listen to me, choke out the Word of God, the most powerful things in the universe from our lives. Think about it. That's stunning. The most powerful things in the world get choked out from our lives. The Word of God can make massive impact on our lives and on eternity. But the only limiter or the limitation in the equation is the conditions of the soil. Or I should say plainly, the condition of our hearts. Imagine this. Think about this. The limitation is not the seed. The problem is not the seed or the Word of God, but the soil in the heart. And my question to you again, is your heart receptive to His teaching? And is your heart the good soil for the seed of God to mature and to grow? The world-creating, life-giving, soul-saving Word of God, think about this again. It's choked out by us. How can it be? Let me repeat one more time my question to you. Is your heart receptive to His teaching, and is your heart the good soil for the seed of God to mature and to grow? To conclude today's message, I have to really want to make sure that we have some practical things to take home with you, for you to cultivate the soil in your heart, of your heart. First, you have to receive the seed. The Word of God is powerful and is always there for us. It's right in front of you, the Bible, the Scriptures. But if there's no seed, there's no life. We need to have the seed in us. Read the Bible, please, constantly. Join us, our church, the devotion campaign together. So we will read through and meditate on the New Testament in 2 years. Pick up a devotion booklet and use it as a spiritual journal, basically. Second, remove the thorns. In order to cultivate a heart that is honest and good, and you need to remove the thorns and turn the control, your control, over to God. Is there anything right now we need to remove from our lives for God? For example, let me give you an example. Our interaction with TVs, cell phone, tablets, computer, definitely change the condition of our hearts. Definitely. How often do we use technology to learning? How often? But how often we use the technology to pleasures? Or to sinning? Our time, our attention, our energy on social media, status update, watching stories, pictures, countless video, live streaming. Do you think we are generating or kind of like bearing the fruits of our lives, or actually making more thorns in your life? What do you think? We really have to control our habits. Really have to control the habits. Also, please remember, one thing, important. It's your heart. It's not other people's heart. You can only cultivate your own place or your own heart. You can change others but yours. So ask God to break up the hard and rocky surface of your heart and turn over anything that doesn't make your heart harden before Him. The last one is important. Seize the Word. We must have full conviction in believing in His Word. Full conviction in believing in what God says. The belief, faith, the conviction is what giving us the urge, the grind, the perseverance, and that even the skies is falling, the world is breaking apart. We still seize the Word, hold on to it no matter what, until there's a harvest. We have to believe. We have to have that kind of conviction, hold on to the Word, believing it. It's important. That's what driving the disciple to ask for more. I want more, Lord. We need to ask the Lord to help us to have that grind, urge, seize the Word, believe in convictions. And what if, imagine, everyone here received the seed, the Word of God, and remove all the thorns of our lives and have that conviction for the and seize the Word of God until there's harvest, which yields hundredfolds for the kingdoms. Imagine this. What would this city or your workplace or your family or your home will look like? Imagine this. I really want all of you to think about this, really. What if everyone be able to bear fruits and harvests right here and right now? Something will be changed. It will shake the country. It will shake the world. Let's pray. Oh Lord, I receive you afresh in this place. I receive you and ask for your help right here, right now. Please, Lord, help us removing the thorns of our lives. Change our hearts and make us good soil. I want to hear your words, Lord. I want to receive your teachings, Lord. I want to understand it, Lord. I want to believe in it, Lord. I want to seize your words and hold on to it no matter what and sticking with it until there's a harvest in us, in me, Lord. I want more. I want hungry for more. Please, Lord, transform our lives. Transform every one of us here to become the light of this city so that your name will be glorified and be lifted higher and higher, and your kingdoms will be here on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you. We believe. That's why we pray in Jesus' name.